04NUE with W2MJB. So after, you know, working years with wood, and my dad's a welder. He's retired now, but we've always had a welding shop out here on the farm, and farmers always bring their, you know, stuff out here to have it welded or fixed or whatever, and we usually did, you know, don't charge anything. Well, peak season comes around or something, you know, they'll give us some peaches or watermelons or, you know, that kind of thing. But when the ice storms come through every year, I always have a neighbor that calls, you know, hey, you know, oak trees down in the yard, you know, bring the mill over. And I've just got to a point, though, to where I just don't cut anything in a backyard anymore, because it's just got so much trash in it. You know, people go out there and shoot bullets in it, or they'll drive nails in it, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it just ruins the blade in a heartbeat. Unless it's, you know, if it's walnut or red cherry or something like that, and it's worth the risk, then I'll give it a try. But I told you last night, you know, we got some walnut up there in the barn. Yeah, it's been up there 10, 15, 20 years, I'd say. But like I said, whenever you want it, come get it. It's got a lot of dust on it, but it came out of Peach Farmer's yard. Lives about 2 miles up road. He's passed away now. But his name was Marion Dempsey, and nice fella. But it came out of his yard, and I'd like to see it used and put into somebody's hands that are skilled. Over.
W2MJP. Since I'm off this coming weekend for the 4th of July, if you're around, I'll give you a call and see if we can meet up and collect that wood. I'd like to pull it down, clean it up, and make something out of it. That'd be really nice. I love walnut. Can't inhale the dust too much anymore, but I love the smell of walnut.
You're right. Walnut on the sawmill is pretty bad. I tell you, though, the worst is cedar. It's a pretty wood, but it's just downright dangerous on the sawmill. The cedar oil is pretty corrosive. It has very high pH. And, you know, it gets, that fine dust gets in your nose or gets in your eyes, and you're around the mill and you're busy, you're not thinking about it, but when you bed down that night, it's horrible. If you get a big enough chunk in your eyes, it'll actually burn a spot actually burn your eye. But it gets in your mucous glands, and it just makes for a rough night. So usually with the cedar, I'll go buy a bunch of knee-high pantyhose and stuff it over the discharge chute on the mill and collect all of the shavings that come out of the sawmill and tie it up in little sausage-looking bundles, and you throw it in your closet or put it in your sock drawer or whatever, and makes everything smell like cedar, you know. And it lasts 6 or 8 months, I guess. But you're right, you got to be careful with the dust and all, and know what you're dealing with.
NUAW2MJB, I was reading an article about a guy that got some sassafras wood, and he was in his shop. I think he was cutting it up and working with it, and he had that wonderful kind of a root beer aroma. And then he said after, you know, it was okay the first 15 minutes, but after that it started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. stronger until it got to the point where he just couldn't take it anymore. It was so prolific that he had to open the doors and the windows to air out the shop because it got so strong in there. So I can imagine, you know, I know when I was in high school, we didn't, you know, really think about the airborne dust and irritants and stuff in the air and breathing it in, but now I can't take it. I go out and mow the lawn and I got to wear a mask because the dust and the pollen and stuff will just plug me up. I won't be able to sleep at night because of it. Over.
4 NUE with W2MJB. So you're right. So just want to let you know, if you don't have any sharp blades for your radio or your table saw, you better get them because this stuff is hard. My goodness, it's hard. And it'll, you know, it'll take the edge off a blade pretty quick. We invested, we finally got to a point out in the wood shop that we had to invest in one of the blade grinders to sharpen the round blades for the sawmill, for the table saw and the radial arm saw, you know, because red cherry, oak too really, but oak's not that bad, but red cherry and walnut, it'll ruin a blade in a heartbeat. So we just bought us a sharpener, and instead of, you know, having to go buy another $60 blade, we'll sharpen it up, put it back on the table saw or whatnot. That makes a big difference, really big difference.
Brent, UEW2MJB, hang on just a minute. Let me take a break here and call for any check-ins that may have come in here the last 10 or 15 minutes or so. This is W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Any check-ins, Alpha through Zulu, please call W2MJB or net control.
Foxtrot Hotel Juliet, checking in real late, I know. Anyway, this is Gene and Taylor, negative and negative. Enjoying the conversation that I'm hearing. Over.
Hey, Miss Wendy, you're doing well tonight. Sounds like you got a good net going. Enjoy listening to you and Chad and the rest of the net this evening. No traffic, no comments, but if you will, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo. Name is Mike, location Simpsonville. No traffic, no comments tonight. Mark, 73, do you have one on the net?
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing AK4HR, Mike and Taylors. Thanks for checking in tonight, Mike. And then, Gene, can you recheck on your call sign? I plumbed it up and didn't get it entered right.
This is W4, Foxtrot, Hotel, Juliet. Over.
Gene, I got W4FU, Foxtrot, Uniform, Juliet. Is that correct?
W4, Foxtrot, Hotel, Juliet. And old phonetics, World War II phonetics, is Fox out, Gene. Over. You up, worse. I'm sorry.
No, that's W4FHJ, Gene there, Taylor. Sorry, Gene. No, it's, some of the problem is my hearing isn't really good anymore, and it, my wife has to yell at me sometimes, so I didn't get it that time. That's W4FHJ, Gene and Taylor. So I appreciate your patience with me, Gene. I've got you in the log. This is W2MJB. Let me restate those again. That's AK4HR, Mike and Taylors, and W4FHJ, Gene and Taylors. Appreciate your patience with me. Any other check-ins, please call W2MJB or Net Control. This is W2MJB, Net Control for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard on that last call. So we'll go back to KO4 NUE, Chad.
Okay, Mark. Well, listen, let's do this. You tell me when you're done, and we'll close it out, because I can talk about woodworking or machining all night. So you just you let me know when you've had enough. But I do want to tell you real quick that over the years with the sawmills, run into all kinds of stuff inside the tree, you know, ranging from anything from bullets to nails. I found a couple of hitching posts with the ring actually there. That particular one had, I think it was 112 rings in the cambium layer of the tree, which put it at, you know, 110, 112 years old. And, you know, actually find a hitching post in it is kind of neat. Barbed wire, bicycle frames. I got one had a bicycle frame in it that, you know, the tree just kind of overtook. But occasionally I'll get somebody to bring a couple of logs out here that, you know, hey, will mill this up for me and explain to them, okay, you know, if this came out of the backyard, here's how this is going to end up. And it's usually pretty right, you know. I usually hit some kind of metal or something, and I'll cut as long as they'll buy the blades. And usually they change your mind pretty quick. But, you know, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky and, you know, you can miss whatever's in it. But usually not.
BW2MJB. Yeah, the blades are not cheap. Cheaper to resharpen them than to replace them. But, yeah, a guy up in Indiana, he told me that I got a couple logs from a guy that from his yard. He cut them, and he told me, I'll cut, and you've got one nail. I'll hit one nail, and I'll replace the blade, and if I hit another nail, we're done. I'm not cutting anymore. And so his limit was, you know, and then I had to pay for the, you know, the blade or whatever for the first or second nail, but after that, he wouldn't cut anymore. Some of them, I saw some chainsaw marks where he'd cut some nails out. I guess he found them with a, you know, metal detector. But most of the time, if he hit one and he didn't find it, he would stop instead of wasting the blade. So, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Even though the trees look great on the outside, they're not always good on the inside. But it's still sad to see them all go to firewood, but that's sometimes all they are is firewood. So appreciate your time, Rag Chewing tonight, Chad. Yeah, I've got to head to bed here. I've got to get up in the morning for my 3-day week next week. But I'll get a hold of you and schedule a time to come up and work with you on that walnut there and see if we can get it down. And I'll probably pressure wash it just to make sure I get all the dirt off of it, and then we'll see what we can make out of it.
Mark, well, you're welcome to it. I hope you can do something with it. I think we've used a piece or two of it over the years, but, you know, all our furniture in the house is built, and I don't really, I've had people ask me to build, you know, tables or things like that, but I just, you know, really not interested in it, I guess. But at any rate, I'll let you get on. I appreciate hanging around talking with me for a few minutes, and I hope you have a good week, sir. 73s, and you tell Miss Wendy we hope she has a good week too. So it's KEEL4NUE. I'm clear, Mark.
BW2MJB. Well, thank you for for the discussion, and I'll get a hold of you. So appreciate it. You have a wonderful evening. Tell Anna hello, and we'll be looking forward to hearing you all check in tomorrow. So this is W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge to Meternet. Have I missed anyone for check-ins or comments? Please call W2MJB or Net Control. This is W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge to Meternet. Hearing no comments or check-ins, we'll go ahead and submit the net report electronically. You should hear momentarily for those who are still listening. And I'll break for a minute, fill that in, and submit it. W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I appreciate you checking in with me tonight. Tomorrow night, Anna, K04RYP, will be calling the net, so please call in and check in with her. She does a great job, and it's wonderful to have a female voice on the net once in a while. Offsets all these grumpy old men who are calling the net each night. This is W2MJB, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll return the repeater back to normal amateur use 7-3. Good night, everyone.
4JBQ, KO4NUE.
UE, K4JBQ. Oh, let me take these earphones out. Aware that Donna can hear things, and I keep a headphone on to keep sound down, not disturb her. And it makes you sound funny to yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, how you been? Everything okay your way?
I guess I have to be satisfied with the life that is in front of me. I'm largely the architect of that. Today was a pretty good day. I finished up a project that has taken me more than a week, more than it should. I hear you, and it was really enjoyable. I agree with others who have commented. It's great to hear a woodworker talking to a machinist. I mean, you're using very similar tools with a different mindset. And but you have experience on both sides of that, and that's marvelous. It really is. You do have a very large life. But I'm sure that's on purpose. Anyway, you work with metal or you work with wood. I've been working with cardboard. and that's wonky. KK4JBQ.
What are you doing? You doing some modeling? What's going on with the cardboard?
That's a can of worms. So you opened her up. We have to change out the television, and the television is larger than the one before because they didn't make anything in the 45-inch range. They don't make those anymore, strangely. So what Donna had on top of the cabinet, which the television is mounted to, could no longer be seen. Some figurines and, most importantly, a carriage clock that I'm rather fond of. Being a watchmaker in the past, I just love that clock. But the television covered them up. So she says, let's get some boxes made. So we looked into it, and she says, oh, I found somebody that can make it for about $60 a box. And they're just little boxes. So I says, honey, I can make that out of Kleenex boxes. And you know, if you say something like that, you better be willing to back it up. So I did. Now, this is how I did it. You might approach this differently from the get-go. I understand that. But I took empty Kleenex boxes and filled them full of cat litter and sealed it all up, of course, because that litter will get out of there if it can. Sealed it all up and then covered it with contact paper. Now, that doesn't sound like it's a mean thing to do, but it's a mean thing to do and have it look decent, you know. So there you are, KK4JBQ.
Okay, KO4NUE. So, what's with the cat litter? I lost something there. Is you using it for weight or what's the deal?
The clock itself is rather weighty, and the box itself to support the base of the clock had to be 9 by 12 inches. And that's just going to slide all over the place. And then the figurines, they had to be stable also. Yeah, the cat litter was for weight and to keep the boxes from collapsing, because take a look at a Kleenex box. It's made of paperboard. It's really not cardboard. It's not corrugated. It's paperboard. Oh, much like a cereal box is, you know, but a cereal box is even thicker than that, but the wrong shape. We just needed cubes. Oh, I did an online search for pedestals and all kinds of things. I could never get something that was the right size, but I found an Amazon shipping box that was perfect for the clock. And then these Kleenex boxes worked out to be perfect for the figurines. And I just set my mind to getting it done, but I tripped over myself I don't know how many times. Kleenex boxes are really not square or regular. What makes the boxes, I guess, has wide tolerances. But I say all that not to bring any focus on that, but just to say that it's marvelous to hear you all talk about 10,000ths of an inch clearance or tolerances. That's just, I dig it. I really do. You know, being a watchmaker, I worked with tools also, much smaller than yours, but I worked with lathes and making gears and such as that.
KO4NUE with KK4JPQ. So three questions before we move on to the next topic, because I do have something I want to talk to you about tonight, but you got off on these Kleenex boxes, so I'm going to stay here just for a minute. So three questions. First question is, why didn't you call me? I could have built some kind of pedestal for you. Nothing wrong with the Kleenex boxes. I get it, but... So, first question, why didn't you call me? Second question is, how many boxes? And the third question is, what did you do with all the Kleenexes?
Well, it took a while to use those Kleenexes, and I saved the boxes. You know, they're not big, or they don't clutter much, so I could save the boxes until I had enough to work with. And there are four, including the clock base. Two boutique for one set of figurines, and the other set can go on one large, I should say, regular size box. And then, as I said, the Amazon shipping box, which had just the right dimension. And the height, see, I didn't want to see much of the box above the items of interest from our seated position. So as it is, I see just as much of everything above the television as I want to. It's all, see, the television, I put some LED lights around the back edge of the cabinet. So there's an aurora of light around the cabinet. No other light on in the room. It's better for your eyes not to have one bright light emanating from the TV screen. So this is a soft glow on the back wall. It really is a nice effect. And you can get it with LED strip lights, you know. those little things that you can, that you get rolled up. And I use a 12-volt transformer with a rheostat, and I get them adjusted just right. So, yeah, and why didn't I call you? Well, I appreciate that offer. I really do. I do not think of, I think of how to get it done rather than who can I call to get it done. There are times when I don't have the knowledge, the resource, or the inclination, to tell you the truth. But I have done some plumbing, some electrical, some construction, some fixing what the contractor didn't get right when they built the place, you know. And I do all that. There's my dad was a good example. He did things that were not in his career path, you might say. KK4JBQ.
Okay, well, next time you encounter something like that, and that's something I can do to help you with it, please give me a holler, and I'll be glad to help you. But listen, let me move on here for a second. I got a couple of ham radio questions I need to talk to you about.
Absolutely, we'll do that. My headphones are in the floor. Tell you what, I had such a time finding the right headphones. The big clunky ones that sit with the cans, as engineers call them, the cans that sit on your head with a strap on the top, those just kill me for long extended wear, you know. So the ones that Sony used to make for gamers is very good for long-term, like watching television or something. And it keeps the noise down in the rest of the house if anybody else cares, you know. But Sony stopped making those things. And I've got, like, three pairs that's got to last me the rest of my life. Oh, but the next time I do come up with something like that, Chad, I'm just going to put you top of the list, give you a buzz. If nothing else, just to see what your thoughts are, you know. Not to obligate you or anything like that. But yeah, I should have consulted. You understand?
Put it this way. I'll be helping Miss Donna. How about that? that might make it a little easier to call.
How right you are, I'll swear. You just, maybe you do know how right you are. Because you can be fighting with your own self, you know, and get frustrated and have to start over from the get-go, you know. And she has to witness all that. She has to see you frustrated and boiling over, you know. So you are absolutely right. And so That's a good husband talking. Thank you, sir.
So, this is going to sound kind of funny and maybe not believable, but as many tools that I have, I am very blessed to be able to make a connection between my hands and my brain. You know, that takes a long time for a man to develop, to get to that skill level. But one thing I do not have is imagination. It is hard for me to visualize a space that is occupied by a part or something that needs to be made. I just cannot visualize that in my brain. Gary came up and worked with me a couple weeks ago on a little project he had. And he's just, you know, explaining away. He had a perfect image in his brain of what this thing was supposed to do. But I was just not able to grasp that. And that's not just on that particular part, it's on everything. And I struggle with that. Drawings are my friend, and I always have to put something on, you know, draw it on the table or whatnot before I can even start. So what I do is when I get it to a point to where I can't find a solution for something, sometimes I have to, you know, it may take a couple of days. I might have to think about it for a couple of days. But after a couple of days, if I haven't figured it out, then I just call my cousin Chris. He's the one in the family that's, he's got the imagination. He can, okay, well, you know, that's not going to work because this, this, that, and the other, this is the way you need to do it. And he can visualize that in his brain. So that way we're just kind of connected, I guess, because, you know, we're family members and all. But I use his imagination, and sometimes he uses my hands, so it works out pretty good.
Isn't it nice when it works out like that? And it's family together, you know, all together, that's good. Yeah, on aptitude test, that skill is called spatial relations, spatial relationships, or pre-visualization, being able to see it in your mind before it's in the real world. And I have scored just, it's a natural thing. It is a gift. It really is. I don't think it can be developed as well as the gift allows you to without any effort. I mean, you can compensate, but the gift of pre-visualization is awesome. And I've had it naturally and never struggled with that. And I have noticed that other people around me, Donna, does not have this. And sometimes it creeps into the real world. Now, this is an example. If I'm working with somebody, I'm working in my mind. I'm working right along with them. To the point that I know what they're going to reach for and I can hand it to them. I know what they're going to do next, and I may caution if I have any experience with it, or I may sit there and wonder to watch them do something so, it appears so easy to them, and to me it looks just so difficult. But I work right along with them. And Donna can be distracted by everything. I mean, she can be working with me. And I need that it should turn just so, maybe 20 degrees. And she can't anticipate that. She doesn't know that the work has to be moved in order to address it at the proper angle. And it's all lost. I mean, everything just breaks down. And maybe that's a lot of things working together, too, and it's not just visualization, but I do think that comes into it. What do you think?
So, let me tell you kind of, so a couple months ago, I had a guy contact me and said, somebody told me you had a sawmill, and I've got a 10x10 cedar post left over from a job. And my wife wants a mantle, fireplace mantle cut out of it. Do you think you can, you know, you can help me with that? And I said, well, sure. Bring it out here and we'll put it on the mill and we'll get you, you know, where you need to be. So, it's about an hour later, he shows up and with his wife. She's in the truck and, you know, it's big. 8 feet long, 10x10 post is in the back of the truck, and he gets out of the truck. We shook hands and talked for a minute. Well, she stays in the truck, and she was not happy at all. You could just tell she was not happy. And he's at the back of the truck, and he's explaining, you know, how he wants this thing to look. And I just stopped for a second. I said, is this
obviously this is going in the house, right? And he said, well, sure. And I said, well, what does your wife want out of this as far as the mantle, you know, how you want it to look? And boy, she opened the truck door and she was out in the back of that truck in, you know, no time at all. And still she was trying to be a little bit reserved. Let me let my radio drop, Larry. I said, look, you know, I've been doing this, you know, been cutting mantles for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, I guess, for people. And I said, no disrespect. I said, but best thing you can do is just be quiet. Because she's got in her mind what she wants. And if it's not cut that way, then, you know, nobody's going to be happy. And, boy, she lit up like a Christmas tree. So, he introduced us, and we shook hands, and she says, okay, well, this is the way I want it to look. And she got through explaining, and he looks at me, and he said, did you understand any of that? And I said, every bit of it. I said, because I'm married to a woman just like her. So, it was kind of funny. But we put it on the meal, and I had her follow along on the meal with me, cut by cut. And we made a cut and shut the meal off. We talked about it. So when they left, she had exactly what she wanted, and she was, you know, tickled to death. So I understand what you mean as far as Miss Donna goes.
So many times that if Mama ain't happy, there ain't nobody going to be happy. And that's quite true. But it goes even further in my mind. Before Donna and I came together to make this fair union, while she had a dad that I loved that man. I swear I loved that man. He was an engineer and a machinist, electrical engineer, and just as smart as a tack. I mean, he could draw freehand what would take me on with pencil and paper. What would take me with pencil and paper hours to do. He could do that and detail it, and you'd have measurements that you could read and make it from the paper. I went to school 20 years before you took the same classes. So we didn't have computers, you know, back in the 60s. They hadn't come into the mind of in the conscious mind of human beings yet. They were still in the inventor's mind. So drafting was done on paper, bent over a drafting board. And I did a lot of that. Took like three classes, three different years I took drafting. In high school this was. And I did right well. But even though his name was Don, even though Don raised Donna, it is a man raising a girl child. And Donna is an only child, so there were things that he could help her understand, and she got kind of how a man thinks. We do think differently. Come on, let's admit it. We do think differently. We get to the same point, perhaps, but we come at it differently. That's the way I look at it. But anyway, we got married, and right away I understood that I've got to include her in things that I do, not only so she can understand who I am, but that she can be the helpmate that God intended her to be. You know, that's the way I look at it. KK4JBQ.
So, yeah, I understand what you mean, but, you know, Anna's sometimes, she comes in and just moves her hands while she's trying to explain what, you know, what my next task is, and I've, you know, got to where I just kind of watch her hands, and it's just, you know, well, this, you know, this thread right here needs to be replaced, and poof, she just kind of, you know, does her fingers out like that, just kind of like, poof, magically, you know, a number 12 square double-leaded thread just kind of magically appears, you know, kind of one of those things, but sometimes I just, you know, have to say, hey, you know, that looks simple, but, you know, it may take me 2 days to do that. Well, why? And, you know, so I get it. But listen, hey, boy, either one of us get in trouble. Let me move on to my questions, over.
We'll move on, but I just think I should say that it seems that you married a genie. Remember the television show, The Genie? I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah, she could just wave her hands and things would happen, you know. So go ahead, Chad.
That's my question regarding that topic is usually when I hear the word we, that really means me. So, okay, with that, first question is, we're talking about contesting this weekend as far as the field day event goes. So first contest I've ever been involved in. A lot of, you know, strange things that I think I understand. Some of them Gary answered for me. Others, you know, just didn't get an opportunity to ask. So you ready?
Can be helpful, sure.
So, were you able to listen to any of the traffic over the repeater regarding the field day?
Yeah, and so we would have this conversation or something like it. So you could explain some things to me and I'll pick it up along the way. I don't need to ask any particular questions because I'm not, you know, I wasn't there. And so I'm not able to ask questions, but maybe I can answer some. I did listen and I did kind of catch on what was happening. But I'm sure I don't have the whole picture. I'm awfully glad that you called to tip me off because, you know, I hadn't planned to do any activity on field day, and this kind of included me to an extent, and I appreciate that.
So I think the intent was so that people who could not get out to the field day could, you know, kind of just participate just by listening, you know, I think, and just try to get the word out that, you know, there was actually a field day event going on. I, you know, I tell you, this whole COVID thing, it's changed everything. It has just changed everything. I'm quite sick of it, to be honest with you, you know. I won't get off topic here, but, you know, well, here's the way I see it. You know, I don't hold anything back on the radio. Is I went over to the field day event on Saturday.
and I saw, you know, the leadership of the club, the matriarchs of the club, doing a lot of work. It was hot. They were tired, and they put a major effort into trying to get the newer hams involved and to get it out there that, hey, the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club is participating in Field Day this year, even though they weren't scoring points, just to try to get people back together. So they've kind of agreed with the idea, hey, let's get it out there, and, you know, would you, you know, he didn't have any issues with, you know, trying to do that. You know, so trying to find a way to make sure that their efforts were recognized, I think that was the two intents there, to get the word out, and the people who could not make it could kind of pull for their team a little bit, for their club, and say, hey, I wonder how the guys are doing, you know, wish I could be there or whatnot. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand. Yeah, Field Day is it's not just one thing. It can't be characterized as a contest. It can't be characterized exactly as a preparation for emergency service. It's kind of both of those things, but the way I understand the Blue Ridge Club's approach to it this year was that it was going to be just a time for fun within the frame of Field Day. KK4JBQ.
So, with that in mind, I'm just not a DXer. I just can't get into it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that's just not my cup of tea. But I don't want to ever pass up an opportunity to try to learn something, you know. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I still want to try to learn a little bit. And for me to pass up an opportunity to, which is my first statement for tonight, to have an eyeball QSO, here's what I learned. I want to pass up an opportunity to, you hear a call all the time, but you don't know what that person looks like or anything like that. So, you know, I wanted to go for that as well. And so first lesson I learned or confirmed this weekend was that a ham operator never looks like they sound. Would you agree with that?
Most instances, I certainly would agree with that. I had no idea what Andy would look like, for instance. And I think I may have told you this before, but I heard Andy speaking behind me, and I knew who that was. His voice is distinctive. And so I turned around, and I looked right into his chest. I didn't realize that the man was that tall, you know. And then, you know, he's just as friendly and just as knowledgeable and just as warm-hearted as he is on the radio. He's the same person. But he just doesn't look like I pictured him, you know? I didn't picture him 6'2".
KO4ZEW.
ZEW, and gentlemen, I got the radio up, but I'm going to step away from the radio just for a minute. Go ahead.
ZEW, this is Ben. I'm a new ham. I just got licensed this spring, and I went up to Field Day, and I want to echo your sentiment that, you know, the seasoned elders of the club, that they were working, they were doing, you know, getting antennas up in the trees, and then they, you know, they passed over and said, you know, I'm extra, you're calling in another club. He said, take the microphone, man. Take it and, you know, learn. And I was just, you know, floored and honored to be able to, you know, call in on HF, even though I'm a technician. And I learned a lot. I got to put faces to names on people I see, you know, I talk to on this repeater a lot. I was only there about 3 or 4 hours, but it was a fantastic event. And I just want to let, you know, anybody who's still listening know that everything was appreciated. Everything I learned and saw and talked to, and I can't say thank you enough.
Wow. KO4Z, W, I tell you, you are the person, or other people like you, are the people that largely, I think, the greatest benefit of Field Day. It is, in the minds of some clubs or some groups, it's a contest. It's a contest for points. To be published as the winner, those who accrued the greatest number of points overall, and some clubs just don't see it that way. It's a picnic, and some, for some, it's an opportunity to expose the community, if I can say it that way, to expose the community to what amateur radio is, and to show the value of this hobby that we have in the worst times that we can possibly imagine, when communications are down everywhere. And I can only call to mind perhaps a tornado rips through a community and nothing survives. Nothing at all survives for miles around. And the effect is widespread. So who can go in there and communicate over long distances? It's us. It's ham radio. We're ready to go. Some people keep that, what they call a go box, by the door all the time, and they can just go on a moment's notice and provide communications. Now, there are structured organizations that do rehearse this more often and are very good at it, who work with served agencies like hospitals and FEMA and the like. But we fill in all the gaps, and we fill in instantaneously without much organization, much more than what we can carry in a box. So Field Day, wherever you found it, Field Day was there for you today, and I'm glad you were there, KK4JBQ.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I want to say, I got 2 points I want to highlight. Is one is that, yes, the Field Day with Blue Ridge was not about points. They were not scoring. They were having fun. We were making contacts. They were encouraging us newbies to get on the air. That was, you know, to me, really, really valuable experience. And then the other thing is that I talked to one of the more senior members. I mean, he's been in 30 years plus or something. He said him and his family don't have a go kit. They have a home kit that they keep in their vehicles, and they keep communications equipment and some snacks and drinks and things in their car, not to go, but to get home so that they can be back together in the event of an emergency and, you know, take care of each other. I had never heard of that before, and I thought that was the most amazing idea, is to have a home bag instead of a go bag.
Turn it inside out. But it's the same kind of purpose. The purpose is the same. To aid your survival in an emergency, the survival of others around you who have, I mean, who knows what needs another person has. You can't tell what a person's needs are if you strip away all the supports that are in the world around us. We can provide one means of support that everybody has gotten very used to. You see people that don't want to be separated from their cell phone. It's become ubiquitous and it serves so many purposes. But one is to contact others when you're concerned about them. Just that can change the whole complexion of an emergency. People could be hurt. Certainly people's lives have changed in a way that they had no idea of when they woke up that morning. But if they can just talk to somebody they know, if they can just find out that they're okay and that they're safe where they are, the comfort and the support that is invaluable. So that's what amateur radio is. That and we're, this is a big family. You are new to the family, but you will quickly become someone else's son and someone else's brother that's what that's like. It's we're all friends here. KK4JBQ.